Recording has started, and of course, like I said, I'll edit this out once we finish. So, alrighty,
All
so we good?
right.
Alrighty, so we'll go ahead and get started here. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of International Immersion, a podcast that seeks to capture the combined experiences of people, places, culture, traveling, current events, living abroad, and much, much more. For today's episode, I have a previous guest who talked about his experiences when he was teaching in China, my good friend John, and we have him back today. He's going to talk about his latest trip to Thailand and Indonesia back in 2022, and some of the deeper elements that he gained from that trip. So, John, it's great to have you on. It's I'm glad to have you back. It's hard to believe it's been almost 2 years since our first one. But it's great to have you, and I hope things are well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean. It really has been a seems like a longer than just 2 years, but it's good to be back. I'm excited. So it's I learned quite a lot on those trips, and especially now that I reflected even more, like a year later, it's been about a year since I got back. Like I'm realizing it had more impact on me than I even realized. So glad to share that.
Well, I can definitely relate. I think every place I go, the people I meet, the things I do in every country, they all have both an immediate, midterm, and a long-lasting effect. And those can manifest in a number of ways, as I'm sure you can explain over the course of tonight's discussion. But I just think that's one thing I've always tried to impart on people is how important travel can be for your mental, psychological, and spiritual health. I think a lot of people can gain a lot from it. And also they learn about different places, they become more open-minded, more tolerant, and I think become more well-rounded and also more appreciative of what they have.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. And I think the crazy part is like this trip in particular, like you know me, I love history and I've always had an interest in international relations and kind of going that route. But you know, when I got back from China, I kind of went a different path, and this previous trip kind of reawakened my love for, you know, diplomacy, international relations, what's going on in the world. I'd fallen off, gotten into the corporate grind, and then, you know, 1 year later, 2 years later, three, you know, it all blurs together, and you get stuck in the day to day. And this trip really got me outside of that day to day and got me in that state of confusion. Someone told me, like, if you're confused, it's good. That means you're learning. So,
I like that. That's good.
And that's always the best feeling. You know, like when we're kids, we love our childhoods usually because we're just always confused, right? Everything's new, everything's exciting because we've just never experienced it before. We have that curiosity. So, these are, Thailand, Indonesia, I knew a little history about those countries, but I never really had that much interest in those countries. Mainly, a friend of mine was just raving about Bali. He's like, "Oh, get a full remote job. We'll move to Bali, 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 Bali." I'm like, "Okay, fine." I wasn't gonna line up schedules, so I just went alone. And I was like, "Screw it, I'm just gonna go alone." You know, COVID's dying down, country's opening up. I haven't traveled in like 5 years, so I was like, "You know what? I'll just go alone. Screw it." So,
That's really cool, man. But yeah, so to begin with, I'm eager to hear about your trip because you told me a little bit, but I'm really eager to hear more because you spent a good amount of time in both countries. So to start off with, maybe you could give just a general summary of your trip, not like a day to day, but like just kind of a general summary from when you left, how long you were there, which places, and when you came back, something simple like that.
So, those 14-hour flights are not fun, but I have to admit, I knew it was going to be a
True
good
that.
trip. Because I knew it was going to be a good trip because I booked a Japanese airline, and it was, well, at first I went to Colorado, or first it was a layover in Las Vegas, and then from Las Vegas to Tokyo, and I was on I forget the name of the Japanese airline, but it was amazing. I honestly wish I traveled more during the pandemic because of two reasons. One, the airports weren't as busy, And then two, also, like, I had the whole, the three seats on in a little, like, little aisle. I had the whole thing, so I could literally sleep, like, lay down and sleep on the plane. It was the best.
Traveler's dream.
Oh, it was amazing. And it was, like, obviously a, like, basic economy, but I was able to sleep on the plane. It was, oh, like,
So
it was, it made that trip so much better. Like, I just knew, like, man, even if this sucks, this was still worth it.
was it Al Nippon Airlines? Okay, yeah, I've taken them before.
That's
They were
what it was.
great. My last business trip, I flew back with them, and they were great.
Oh yeah, it was great. Like, the food was even pretty good too. Like, the flight attendants were really nice. Like, it was just awesome. Like it's weird that I'm, like, starting off with the flight and everything, but seriously, like, I just have to throw that shout in. You know what I mean? It's just like, that was great. Like,
I hear you. I hear
that
you.
was, like, weirdly a good part of the journey. But yeah, so then I arrived in, from Tokyo. Then I took a flight to Bangkok. And I chose Thailand, Bangkok first instead of a direct flight to Indonesia, because I was like, you know what, get two places, kill two birds with one stone kind of deal. So,
Yeah, why not?
and you saw, like, the Hangover, like, Bangkok's like, oh, it's like the Las Vegas of, Asia or whatever. So I was like, all right, well, why not spend a couple days there, see what's going on. I got there, and it was hard just getting there, because first of all, I had to get, like, this visa, like, COVID, like, I had to take a lot of COVID tests. Like, they're kind of still taking COVID pretty seriously. And in the US, it was, like, just, like, 2 weeks ago, they were, like, the mask mandate on flights was, like, gone. So, but, still, like, Thailand still took it pretty seriously, so I had to take tests, when I got there. I think I had to take the first three there. I was there for 4 days. The first 3 days, I had to take a COVID test from in my hotel room, and I was negative. Thank God I was negative. But, yeah, so that was a really, yeah, that kind of, like, scared me, because I didn't plan this trip, like, really at all. I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna book the flight and figure it out kind of deal. And I got really lucky, because all it took all it would have taken is, like, one little setback, and things could have got really bad. But, that's kind of how I am. I just risk it. So yeah, Bangkok was pretty devastated by COVID. Like, a lot of businesses were shut down. Like, obviously things were recovering, because they just recently opened up, I think, a couple of months ago. But a lot of the popular places, like, I was going on Google, and, like, all these places, like, oh, these are the places to go, like, travelers guides and stuff. A lot of those places were closed. So I ended up kind of, like, wasting a couple of days. Obviously I visited some temples, some of the bars and stuff, and it was all right. But honestly, yeah, that experience was pretty interesting, because I still thought it was really cool, because it reminded me so much of Shanghai. Like, Bangkok reminded me a lot of China. There's, I know, like, Thailand has a lot of Chinese influence, a lot of Chinese,
A lot of Chinese tourists.
tourists, people with Chinese heritage. So it reminded me a lot of China. In Shanghai, like, the malls, the style, even, yeah, like, the style everyone was wearing, the subways, or the metro system. So yeah, it brought back a lot of memories. It's just kind of that feeling of, like, hey, this is an international city. You're gonna meet a lot of people. I saw so many Americans. And it was just so funny, because I'm just like, I'm thinking, like, okay, like, a lot of Americans go, like, travel to Bangkok, but when I was in Shanghai, you didn't see too many Americans. It was mostly, like, Europeans or people from pretty much everywhere. But in Bangkok, it was specifically Americans. So that was something that was pretty interesting. But yeah, the first couple of days, I was just kind of, like, walking around, checking places out. And it was really humid. It was incredibly humid. Like, I would be outside for, like, an hour, and I would just be drenched in sweat.
Sounds about
And
right. I was in Thailand just a few back in January, in first part of February, just for a day. Oh man, I mean it was nice, but just you're just like a waterfall.
Oh yeah. And it actually it was interesting because that was a key figure. This cat is trying to say hello. But yeah, this there was actually a key figure event in a way, because eventually I decided, because I was sweating too much, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna shave my head. I just decided to do it. Yeah, so now I kind of do it more often, but you know, I had like kind of what your hair length is right now. That's kind of how I was, and I just decided, you know what, I'm gonna do it. So is this guy from Persia? He immigrated to Thailand probably like 20 or 30 years ago. He looked like he was 40, but apparently he was like almost in his 60s. I was like, wow, like he aged well. But yeah, he was super energetic, super awesome. And he convinced me to go bald, like shiny bald. I just felt so weird. Like, this is the first time I went bald in my life. And he was just telling me, like, oh yeah, you're gonna look like Kojak, like the Slavic gangsters or whatever. So yeah, like, so he convinced me and I did it. And you know, that it was just so funny because like here I am, you know, like I would have never done that in the US. Like I wouldn't have taken the leap in the US. And when you're in a foreign country, I feel like you take more risks. And that was just one example of it. You
Yeah,
know.
just something you never, like you said, something you've never done before, and like, yeah, what the heck? Let's just try it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Overall though, I didn't really the Bangkok trip, I didn't plan much. And then obviously like I didn't do much in say of like crazy events or anything. I went to some of the temples. I feel like I got scammed too. Like I always get scammed on these trips, but
Well,
there was
unfortunately,
a
in so easy to get scammed, even if it's not like big, just getting over, they overcharge you, they jack the rate up for when you're buying something on the street, they know you're a foreigner, so yeah, that happens, and you have to kind of expect it. I mean, the longer you're in a place, the more you learn how to avoid it, but yeah, I mean, it happens, so
Right. Yeah, it was funny because I should have saw it coming. It was one of the guys on the tuk-tuk, the kind of like
Oh,
yeah, like the not scooters, but
yeah, the
kind
three wheels. The one, yeah. There,
like
I've taken those in India, Thailand, and I was in Vietnam. They didn't really have many of them. There's mostly scooters, but yeah, they're quite useful, and they're everywhere.
Yeah, it was nice. And the guy told me like, oh yeah, you know, you'll get to see the temples and stuff, and it's like a tour. And I got to see the temple and everything, but there was like this market I was supposed to see. It was like literally like a dead end. I thought
Oh
it was funny. I was like, wait, what? Like, I don't know if that was on purpose or
I see. So you started the trip in Thailand. You were there for how many days?
4 days. I was there for 4 days. But yeah, like, you know. Overall, everyone was super nice.
Oh yeah, I concur. Everyone when I was there just for, a layover, they were great. Everyone was really, really nice.
Yeah, it was super cool. My hotel was pretty nice too, I have to admit. Like I got one of the they kind of force you to get like a 5-star hotel because with the visa you had to book a certain hotel.
Oh really?
Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
that didn't happen. That was an issue when I, but then again, I just was there just the first part of 23, so maybe things have changed, but interesting.
Yeah, because I think it made me think like, because they had to be like government approved or whatever, for
Oh,
foreigners or
yeah, I
whatever.
think yeah, like certain, they have the classification or the permit status or something in order to house foreigners,
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it was a nice hotel. I actually worked out a lot in the gym there,
Hey, there you go.
so I weirdly got pretty strong, even though it was only like 3 weeks overall for the trip. I worked out a lot
Hey,
and I
that's.
obviously walked around a lot. So I think
Oh,
I
yeah,
lost about
walking will do it. Every
7 pounds.
time I travel, you walk a lot more than you do here in the States.
Yeah. And I think I lost like 6 pounds or something.
Nice. I got you. So you were in Thailand, Bangkok Air for 4 days. And then once you finished up, then you headed out to Bali.
Yep. And then after that, this is the funny part. So, of course, I told you I didn't plan anything. So I felt like I was the luckiest person on earth because, like the night before, I was just like, all right, let me check if there's any visa restrictions or, anything like that. Literally that night, like hours before I checked, they just approved visa on entry for US citizens.
Wow, talk
Literally
about
hours.
absolute perfect timing.
Yep. So in that moment, I was just like, wow, someone up there is like watching out for me
You almost
because
had your whole trip derailed, arrive. Well, you can't enter the country, but just so happened a few hours literally before you get there, they do that.
Yeah, then I knew it was like, okay, this is meant to happen. I don't plan anything, and then
Gotcha.
it just happens to be perfect timing.
Gotcha. So you had that miraculous event that allowed you to get into Bali. So you flew into Bali, and how long did you stay in Bali?
So I was there 2 weeks.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks. Yeah, a little more than 2 weeks. I think like 16 or 17 days. So,
And what were some of the
yeah,
highlights of Bali? Because that's one place I've not yet been, but I definitely want to go at some point, especially from what you've told me.
it was so again, because I didn't plan anything, the first couple of days I had to stay at this government approved, it was like same deal, government approved hotel. It was like near the airport. So like I felt like I was really far away from everything. But like yeah, it was weird because I didn't really know anybody, obviously, but there was one person that I had a mutual friend who knew someone in Bali. So
Oh, that's always a
that
big
I was
plus.
trying to, yeah, see, that's what I thought. And I was trying to like meet up with this guy. He's like a yoga instructor or something. But yeah, it just never worked out. So I kind of wasted 2 days trying to like coordinate with him.
Oh, no.
So yeah, again, more waste of time, but. So I didn't really leave the hotel the first couple days, not much at least. I went to like a couple shops just to get food or whatever, but first couple days didn't do much. Then finally, when I took the COVID test and I could leave that hotel, I went to kind of like what was the downtown.
Okay, nice. Got through the hassle and made sure you were clear, negative, all that important stuff.
Yeah, so then I went downtown. Is called Kunta, or at least what used to be the old downtown, apparently. That place was like all there was so many shops closed. It looked like a ghost town. Yeah,
Oh, that's sad.
I know because apparently so many businesses, went under when COVID hit.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the unsung horror stories of the pandemic is just the attrition rate among small and medium-sized businesses globally.
Oh yeah, and then I think Bali in particular, the island was like it lived or died on tourism.
It doesn't
So
surprise
like
me. I mean, it's tourism is, I think, probably the biggest single element of their economy.
yeah, it was kind of scary. I mean, it wasn't scary, but it was like literally entire streets were empty. It was like kind of scary.
Yeah, like
Like
I
there
said,
would be a
this is too quiet and too empty. My goodness, I'm feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I felt like, you can almost see the desperation in a lot of people's eyes. A lot of the locals and stuff. So, not off to the best start. Spent the first 2 days in a government hotel, just kind of quarantining. Then Kunta, which was a ghost town. Yeah, and it was just like weird because, like there's stray dogs everywhere, and like I thought I was gonna get attacked a few times. I had
Oh,
one
gosh.
moment where, yeah, I went out at night. I just, I was just bored, and I got this in the new hotel. It was like kind of warm, like the air conditioning wasn't really working very well, and there was like bugs in there. So I was like, okay, I might as well just go out somewhere. So I was just trying to find like a bar or whatever. But then like this stray dog just kind of cornered me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, oh shoot. And I kind of have like a weird phobia with dogs, so he was like really aggressive, gonna like probably attack me or whatever. So I just stared at him and I just walked right towards him. And then it actually worked. Like, I thought this dog was going to attack me or whatever. No, like, I just walked straight past the dog and he just went away. So, weird victory. Like, one of those weird things. It's
You
like,
oh you you're, you inti he you over intimidated him.
yep. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, oh, wow, like, if I show too much weakness, the dog's actually going to attack me.
Hey, it worked. That's what matters.
Yep, I was like kind of shocked because I was like, well, I'm in a foreign country. I don't know where I am. So I kind of got lost. So I was like, shoot, I don't even know if anyone can help me. Like, what is it? This dog has like rabies or whatever or something. You know what I mean?
Well, he dodged a bullet there, I'll say
Right.
that.
So yeah, not the best experience so far.
But
But
I'm sure it got better after, you know.
oh yeah, it did. So I stayed like I think I stayed a week because it was really cheap in Kunta. Obviously, I didn't know why, but I booked a week because it was near the beach. So I was just going to the beach almost every day.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. I got surfing lessons a couple times. That was the cool part. I learned to surf, one of the highlights of the trip.
Very
So
nice.
yeah, and then that was pretty much mostly it. I went shopping a little bit. There was one pretty cool mall. But yeah, it still was pretty uneventful. Not many people there. I was probably the first American off, like there's very few like foreigners there. I started seeing more like the second week I was there, but that first week I was like, wow, there's like not many foreigners here, at least like American or something, like European, you didn't see too many. But yeah, like, I went to yoga, and then this whole time I'm thinking like, okay, I'm in kind of like the old tourist attraction area. So a lot of shops, a lot of like Western hotels and stuff like that. But I still really hadn't experienced much, done much. So then finally the next week, which was pretty much the last week, I went to Canggu, which is where all the like long-term residents are, like all the Australians, all the Russians. There's a lot of Russians, a lot of Australians. And this is when it got like I got the real Bali
Real deal.
experience. Yeah. So then like, I went to a club and it was really cool, like kind of reminded me of like Shanghai clubs. It was pretty cool. And I met this Russian couple there. And remember, this is like 3 weeks after the war just broke out with Ukraine.
Oh, so this is like March
So
22. Oh my gosh.
yeah. So it was really interesting. Like apparently they had just gotten out of Russia, like about a little like beginning of January they went to Bali. And essentially they got all their money out like 3 days before SWIFT got canceled for Russian bank accounts.
Oh my
So
goodness.
literally, they're trapped in Bali, one of the best places to be trapped. If I'm going to be trapped anywhere, I'd want to be trapped in Bali, right? But yeah, it was just crazy because just hearing their story, like essentially their lives all up in the air, and they're looking for work in America. Like, I was just like, wow, like here I am on just vacation, and their whole lives are like upended. So
Definitely,
yeah,
yeah, that gives a whole new precedence to, like, oh, people you meet, like, oh yeah, I'm on vacation, I've had some problems, but nothing like this. I
Right. Yeah,
fly.
it really opened my eyes. I'm just like, holy crap, like, I'd kind of been in my zone for a long time now, like a couple of years. I've been essentially just working and, minding my own business, not really gauging into like geopolitical situations across the world. And that kind of sparked my interest again because I was like, during those conversations, I was just like, wow, like I'm getting this new perspective, And it was just super cool. Also, they were super nice. We went to a beach club. Beach clubs are really cool, obviously. We went to a beach club like a couple days later. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had like good food. It was like a party on the beach. Yeah, that's when it started getting a lot of fun because, I had started meeting friends and,
Yeah, you started building that social networking while you're there, and so you can d go do things that, yeah, that's when, yeah, that's always a great thing when you start building, making those connections, and doors start opening for different types of things.
Oh yeah, because like if you're only there for a week, you might meet a few people if you're very social, but I'd essentially been working from home for 2 years. And then, like, and I work in IT. So it's like, man, my social skills just went completely down. So, even now I'm like, oh man, my social skills suck, like, compared to what they used to be. So, like, it took me a lot longer to really make friends than, let's say, when I was in China. Like, China, I'd made friends like first week I already had like three groups. I was already embedded into three social groups. And it took me 2 weeks in Bali to really finally start to meet some friends and get that shared experience. So, but yeah, that was kind of the tipping point. In Canggu, there's so many Australians. Like, I swear, like, apparently, like, it's cheaper to vacation in Bali than it is to like go, from Sydney to another city, or like Melbourne or something. So you got all these Australian dudes, mostly dudes, but it's like, and all these like remote workers, like digital nomads, they're like everywhere. Like, you felt like you were in, I don't know, like San Diego or something when you're in Canggu. It was awesome. It was kind of cool, but also I realized, like, holy crap, I feel like such a freaking beta here, Like, these guys are all like sharp. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Australian dudes, like, they knew they're jacked. So they, like, half of them just had their shirt on. They're all the on these scooters. It just looks so funny. Like, these guys are like carbon copies. Like, every like 5 minutes you see another jacked Australian dude on these scooters, and usually a hot girl in the back. Like, I'm just like, damn, like, that's like, I need to get on that level. But they're all in such great
I just
shape.
got a new amount of motivation to work out and come back.
Exactly. Because the whole time I'm thinking, like, wow, like, because I had gained some weight over the years, and my social skills weren't so the best. And I was just like, wow, like, I need to get to that level. That was a big wake-up call. Because, and, like, honestly, it was different from Bangkok, because you saw a lot of Americans, a lot of older Americans, too. So, but these were all young people in Bali, and it was very almost depressing at times. Like, I was just like, wow, like a lot of these people are very healthy, like very health conscious yogis. Like, it was just kind of a wake up call for me, because I'm like, wow, like, this is a lifestyle here. This isn't just like, oh, we're going on vacation. It was like, no, they're here because it's a lifestyle. Like, they're meditating all the time. Like it's literally like a haven for these people. So that was really shocking. And it kind of made me, it almost did two things. It made me realize where I was and kind of how far I'd fallen off that track. Not that I'm like a big yogi or meditator or anything, but I kind of realized, like, wow, like, if I'm in this environment, I'd probably just pick it up super fast. Your environment matters a lot. And that was a big wake-up call for me. But yeah, like, for the rest of the trip, it was pretty good. I was like going out and meeting new people, even kind of had a girlfriend towards the end of it.
Hey,
So
nice, very nice.
yeah, it made life a lot easier that last 3 or 4 days. I met her, and we started to, see each other. And then, it was only like 3 or 4 days, but, like, it made life so much easier, because, she could speak the local language. Most people did speak English, but maybe not so well. It was just, when someone local, it's really
Oh yeah,
nice.
it makes a huge difference. Hopefully, you're still in contact, I hope.
Oh yeah. Still, we still talk every once in a while, but it was nice. Yeah, and then, that's about the time where I took some, at the end, I did some like guided tours and stuff.
Yeah, why
Like, and it
not?
was so crazy, because the tour guide was telling me, he's like, oh yeah, you're the first tour I've had in 2 years. I was just like, what?
Oh. That really
That
brings
was like,
it home.
wow. Yeah. And you just, everywhere you go, it was like closed down shops, like tourist sites were like empty. It was pretty sad, but I'm sure it's a lot better now. But
Yeah. No, but that's one thing you've touched upon is not just the places you went or people you met, but just more of the, awakening, as you've put it, for you being gone, having worked and worked, work, work been working for a couple of years, during the pandemic, being remote, and all of a sudden you're thrust into these new environments, these new people, these new lifestyles, all these things. So, that's I think an important topic. A lot of people who have been through the pandemic, I worked remote for about a year and a half as well, and just my last business trip, it really was kind of eye-opening too. Like, oh yeah, I remember this. I need this. So I would say, like, you've met, so for you, what would you say was the main or the most important aspect of the trip for you? Like, you kind of touched on, but in a nutshell, why was this trip so important for you?
I think the number one, it's almost a tie between two. One was the awakening, kind of like realizing the kind of lifestyle that I could have. And then also the interest I found in like kind of like rediscovered my interest in like geopolitical politics or geopolitical events around the world, like history. Just because the whole time, like the days I wasn't doing anything, I was spending almost 80 to 90% of the time just reading up on the histories of the countries like Thailand and Indonesia, and they were so much more interesting than I thought. It's not like those are two countries that most people study history for, but like at least in America, yeah, it was a really rich history, and it just made the experience so much better. I'm almost glad I didn't plan the trip. Because it gave me a lot of time to reflect on the situations that I was seeing.
And a lot of
And
unexpected flexibility.
I think if I planned it, I probably would have had more, it would have been more enjoyable, but I wouldn't have taken as many lessons out of it, so I would have been
Yeah, I
too
understand.
busy like going, attractions and stuff and all those other things, rigid schedule, and I probably would have lost out on a lot of the spontaneous events that happened, and then kind of just ending up in certain situations or areas that I probably wouldn't have been in. But yeah, I think if you had to tell me one or the other, I'd probably say in terms of importance, probably the rediscovering my passion, like kind of like my passion for international relations, and now I'm working towards that path of possibly becoming a foreign service officer. So long journey, of course, but at least that was the moment where I kind of got out of that corporate grind mindset,
Because you mentioned that for you, kind of for an awakening, there were the health aspects, calm and reflection, and then reawakening of your interests were kind of the three main things within that you kind of have highlighted just from talking thus far. And yeah, I think they're all important. Yeah, you saw different lifestyles. You saw how people are more health conscious. You saw how the people are more relaxed. They're still working, but they're finding a more ba work-life balance. They're in a great location. They're doing things financially, prudent, or being in a less expensive environment. And the diversity is very important, because when you're cooped up in a in a corporate setting, or just at home or online, or even like in a small town, wherever you may be, if you're not going to places like this where there's a lot of multiculturalism, diversity, people from different countries, you don't have those sharing of ideas and that mixing of people. And just like you said, you met some Russians, you met Australians. That really opens up a lot of things and conversations you could never have at back home.
Oh yeah, like yeah, just and I even met this guy from Scotland, and apparently like he was living there, and I think he was there for about over a year, in Bali, and he won big on Bitcoin. So like essentially he'd been just living off Bitcoin, like whatever he got from Bitcoin. So like that was pretty cool. Like he was a really cool guy, but it was just kind of like his lifestyle was so much different. Like he was partying every day. Like, he barely goes back to Scotland. He's pretty much living there. So, and just talking to him and like, how he viewed the world, and just it was just so interesting. I
Yeah,
wish I
the
was there
cool thing
more
is
and met
the
more
dichotomy.
people.
You meet the people working there, you meet the people just partying there, you meet the people living there, and every country, every person has their own story, their own point of view, and their own perspectives and perceptions.
Exactly. It's really cool. I wish that's one thing I'm just like one day I always hope like I could do that digital nomad life. It is taxing, I have to admit. And I'm sure probably people do burn out because I have to admit after that third week, I was kind of ready to come home. I'm kind of a minimalist anyway, so I guess it wasn't that big of a shock, but even still, like, living in a suit, living from a suitcase for almost a month was starting to take its toll on me.
It does. My last business trip was almost a month in four countries. So, and well, so many flights and hotels and cities. It's enjoyable, but after a while, it does start to wear on you. You just start to, you feel your body like, hey, we're moving, we're doing all this stuff. We want to at least say this, we want to stay in one place for some time, relax. But I think, a thing you point out is that we can't just work. We need to put on the brakes and take some time for ourselves. And I think that's another thing the pandemic has really brought out is a desire for work-life balance, like the great resignation, they call it. People are realizing, okay, why am I working this hard? Why am I doing this? It's just, I'm not seeing any path for me. I mean, yeah, I'm getting paid, I'm making money, but what beyond that, what? I think that's, it's both been a good thing and a bad thing. A bad thing in that it's caused a lot of disruptions within different sectors, supply chain, things like that. But at the same time, I think it's make people are going toward a more healthy and positive perspective on life and method of life, which I think is good for mental health and, all the different, the human condition. It's very good.
Yeah, I would agree.
And for what
I
you
have to admit.
described, I think, you're a great case study in that, you've worked through the pandemic and this is a time where you can break out of that, explore and in many ways recharge.
Oh yeah, and I needed it so bad because I was working like 70 hours a week,
Yeah, that's
before that trip.
not 70. That means 40, 50, 60, but 70, good God.
Oh yeah, it was, I was because I had to do production. Like, if the website was down at 12 a.m., I had to get up. So my sleep schedule was all messed up. Like, I was just a wreck. Like, just in almost every area of my life. So that trip really made me realize, like, oh wow, I knew I fell pretty far. But when you're walking on the beach and you see all these jacked Australian dudes, that hits you harder. You're like, wow,
Oh.
Yeah, you're just kind of like, dang, like, I need to get to that. Whatever they're doing, I need to do whatever they're doing.
And I guess
Oh, man.
getting toward the end now, what are your perceptions of both countries after visiting, and what are some of the main takeaways that you have now that you're back home?
Well, my takeaway from Thailand, it did feel like kind of like a Chinese satellite state almost. I don't know how to, like, it just felt like, you could, like, a lot of Chinese companies were there. You could tell, like, written same infrastructure. The more I was there, it just felt like, yeah, like I feel like I'm kind of in China, which was not saying it's good or a bad thing, but it just felt that way. So it wasn't as, I guess, I didn't have as many like breakthrough like realizations there because it's like, okay, I've been, I lived in Shanghai for a year, so
In many cases, it was kind of a recap of your time in China.
it was almost like a, like, hey, welcome back kind of deal. Like, it's
And
like,
I will
remember
say,
this,
from
remember that.
both of us having lived in China and now, and both having been to Thailand now, I definitely can relate, and I definitely would second that. It definitely had its own flavor, but there were a lot of elements. Oh yeah, this looked, I remember this was very similar to China, or it I've it did not take very long to feel back at home.
Right, same. That's how I felt too.
It's just that, I mean,
I
when I was there, I think things were had recovered more. So the atmosphere on the street, especially in downtown, I went to some of the famous spots, the energy was definitely different, but the convenience stores, the street, that stuff was just, oh yeah, this is just like China.
Oh yeah. It did feel like a little bit more, less stress, less focus on work, kind of like a more relaxed China. Like China's pretty, like everybody was like trying to get ahead, like you know what I mean? Like
Yes.
but then here, like Thailand was more like, hey, just enjoy the moment. Don't stress, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Relax.
Yeah, right. It's like, hey, just have fun. Like but yeah, it was cool. I can see myself living in Thailand pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
Like on day two, I already knew how to get around the whole city because the metro is just like Shanghai. So honestly, like it didn't take me too long to kind of like get a feel for everything. So I could definitely live there for
Grind.
sure. Wouldn't be hard at all. I'd probably love it.
Yeah, and it's definitely cheaper too.
Oh yeah. But
No.
yeah, I think overall though, yeah, it was everyone was really nice, more carefree, kind of like a happier China. And then Indonesia was really interesting. Not that Thailand's not, but like I really found out a lot about Indonesia, like that it's, could be a potential regional power. You know, it has a lot of larger population than I realized. I kind of knew it was like one of the bigger countries, but like, you just realize Java has like 80% of the country's population on that small island. Like, I was learning more about the situation of the country. Like, it's Jakarta is pretty much a flood risk. Like, the whole city could just be underwater in like 3 years or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have some interesting situations going on, like Bali kind of being a tourist island, and the rest of the country is pretty much Muslim, and then Bali's like Buddhist. So it was really interesting, getting that, because this was the first time I was in a Muslim country before. So, I was just like, oh wow, that was kind of a shock, like even though it's like I've know a lot of people who are Muslim, but like it was just really interesting being in a country that's their national religion. So way more culture shock there. I don't really have anything to compare it to. It was just something totally new for me.
One of a
And
kind.
that, yeah, it really was like it kind of had a lot of mixture of Indian culture. Like there were some elements of Indian culture. You had, of course, some elements of Chinese culture too. And then of course it's unique culture. Yeah, it was just really interesting. And then of course Bali being a very unique place in the world anyway, like being essentially the yoga paradise or whatever. So the spiritual island, island of the gods, or I think that's what people call it. But yeah, it was definitely one of those eye-opening experiences that I just didn't expect. And I'm glad I did stay for a little bit longer than probably I should have, because I was thinking like, I'd probably see everything I need to see after 1 week. But then I was like, no, what, make it 2 weeks or almost three. Let's just
I think
be there
most
a little
places you
longer.
need at least 2 weeks if you really want to get, immersed. If you're just, if you're there for a couple of days, you can do a few things. But unless you're there a solid week or two, if not even longer, it's really hard to really get more ingrained into the environment because you're just scratching the surface.
Oh yeah, it was, I'm glad I was there. I really got to see three different, or kind of like, yeah, essentially I saw like almost two different Balis, like the Bali, the local Bali, and then also like the digital nomad Bali, the one that everyone raves about. Like it was really interesting though. I just yeah, to describe it in like one word, it was just almost, I can't even describe it in one word. I'm trying to think of one word. There's just so many things that come to mind, but yeah, Indonesia as a country is really interesting. I think they have a really important role to play. Potentially, like their GDP could be very large. They could be a wild card in the geopolitical sense.
And they're also in a very strategic place in the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean the really seeing their development could shape the whole region. So that, I don't know. It's just really interesting. The more I kind of dug into their situation, their history, it was like each layer was like more interesting. So you don't hear much about Indonesia, but I'm glad I really dug into it.
That's awesome, man. I'm really happy you were able to do that, and you have all these takeaways that you're sharing today. And it's something that I think everyone can take, but I think it just depends. Some people take a lot away, some people take a moderate amount, and some people don't take as much. It just depends. Because one thing I always tell people when they plan to travel is you need to put aside biases, you need to put aside perspective, point of view. You have to try to get as close to as a neutral mindset as possible to maximize the experience, because we've all heard horror stories, and I've even seen people that they go places, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, and I'm like, oh, that's the absolute wrong attitude to bring here.
Yeah,
And
you see,
you don't do very well to ingratiate yourself to the locals, because if even if you don't know the language, but if you're open-minded and you're willing to try new things, you will make a lot of friends, or at least gain a lot of respect. Whereas someone who's just, no, I can't do this. Oh, like I can only eat this. No, I can't do that. And then they're just like, ugh.
You're right. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the whole point of traveling in my mind. Like, I think every new place, like, I feel like where you are in life determines your perspective of where you go. But
I completely
each
agree.
time I've, yeah, because each time I've traveled, like, I had a different mindset and different expectations, and I always came away with something different. Because when I was early in like China, when I was, early 20s, I was just trying to party, have fun. Like, I wasn't trying to really take away too much, even though I still did, obviously. But these trips, I was really trying to really take more away, like long term, thinking more long term. And I think overall, it's debatable whether, it maybe on an enjoyment level, I didn't enjoy it as much, but I think I got way more value out of it, out of this trip, than
Oh,
maybe even the whole year I was in China. So.
and I would definitely say so, just from listening to everything you've had to say. But yeah, and yeah, everyone takes away different things, but at the end of the day, I think as long as you gain and you apply it to yourself to make things better for yourself, those around you, or just have a better understanding of the world and just all the myriad of things within it, that's the end goal.
Oh yeah, that's why I want to keep traveling. I almost want to make this a yearly thing,
I think that's a great thing. Whether your job can allow you to do it, whether you can do it, it doesn't matter. Take any advantage. If you have a business trip, you have to go overseas once or twice a year, take some vacation while you're over there, because it's so easy to do that. Or if you save up and you plan a trip every 1 or 2 years, do it.
Oh yeah, it's just. It's the reset, I think, that's most important, because it's so easy. The last 3 or 4 years, this first time I've been in corporate life. Oh man. They always make fun of corporate zombies.
Yeah.
I used to always think, like, how can I ever become a corporate zombie? Now I know.
Yeah, as I
Now
say
I know.
a lot, as of so many things, you won't really fully understand it unless you've been through it.
Right. And that those trips. Those are the trips you need, just to kind of snap out of it. So even if you don't want to learn anything, just to kind of like,
Break the
just
monotony.
yeah, oh yeah, like kind of rediscover some things you like or rediscover yourself a little bit. I think it's completely necessary.
Awesome. So I guess on kind of as we're wrapping up, what would be your advice for anyone who wants to visit Thailand or Indonesia?
Ooh, well, take a Japanese airline, that's for sure. That
I
was
second
really
that.
awesome. Maybe plan it a little bit more. I mean, I was talking about how like not planning it was great, but you'll probably save a lot more money if you plan it. I ended up spending a lot more money than I probably should have. Yeah, I mean, it was worth it, but plan it a little bit.
Everything's better in
Maybe.
retrospect, as they say.
Oh yeah, and then I would say for Thailand, visit Bangkok and Phuket. I heard like so many good things about Phuket. And then for Indonesia, yeah, just maybe Canggu, stay in Canggu, I think that would be pretty wide open. Like you're going to get all the kind of like you get the,
Dichotomy.
yeah, you get all the experience. You kind of get everything in the Bali experience. And it's also an international community. So, I mean, not that Kunta is bad, but it is commercialized more. Not that Canggu isn't. Canggu is definitely commercialized, but it's not as much. And that's why essentially all the nomads keep going further and further from Kunta, because it's like they're trying to avoid the commercialized, like, businesses that are like kind of following the digital nomads. So, yeah, I think if you want to get the best experience, I would Canggu or whatever. Probably by now there's a new area for where everyone's going, but yeah, start in Canggu and then keep going farther away from the city center, because the city center, not as bad. It was still fun, but definitely commercialized, definitely more seller, people trying to sell you stuff and all that stuff. So yeah, that'd be my advice.
Well, John, well noted, and I agree. I think those are all good points, and any prospective travelers should heed those ideas.
Yeah, definitely don't do what I did. I got a lot of
Yeah, luck was
luck.
definitely on your side. I mean, it turned out great, but yes, in retrospect, thinking about it, you're like, "Ooh, I almost got denied a arrival," or "Oh, this could have happened," but it all
All
worked out, and that's
right,
what
too
matters.
many.
But you gain a lot of good, knowledge of how to plan, trip 2.0 next time.
Oh yeah, yep. I definitely learned a lot of lessons, and I'm glad I learned them without paying a lot of consequences. Paying
Yes,
a lot
that's
of
important.
prices for it.
Yes, I hear you there. Well, John, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you coming back, and it's great to hear you were able to travel after the pandemic. Because, yeah, I mean, I myself traveled internationally for the first time in almost literally 3 years exactly, just early this year. So I think it's a great opportunity to, break the monotony, as I mentioned, get out, explore, rekindle a lot of those passions and interests that you get when you travel and learn new things, meet new people. But I just, I really appreciate the insight, that your perspective, and sharing your journey with us. And I think it's a something anyone can use, and hopefully it'll encourage a lot of people to, now the pandemic is finally mostly behind us, get out and explore and try to get back to how things were before.
Oh yeah, yep. And just doing this podcast, it makes me want to just hop on a flight right now. Like,
I
so
hear you.
this is
I hear
good to
you. It's like,
relive
oh, I want to go. I want to go, 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 go.
it.
Well,
So
that.
as always, I appreciate it. It's
Oh, likewise.
fun
And
being on here.
we appreciate you have being on, and like I said, it's great to have you on, and I always love to keep tabs on what you're doing and experiences you have. So with that, everyone, this has been another episode of International Immersion. Feel free to check us out on our Facebook page and Instagram of the same name, International Immersion. If you have any questions or thoughts, shoot us an email to internationalimmersionpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear if you have any thoughts, perspectives, or if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, just let us know, and we'll happily look into it, and love to hear what you have to say regarding topics that we follow. And with that, stay safe, get out and travel, explore, and we'll see you on the next one.